Hello, welcome to the weekly broadcast of Christian Temple. For the next 30 minutes, let our pastor, Brother Rob Coons, bring us the uncompromised Word of God. And let us, with the saints of God, enter into a service already in progress.
I'll give you an example. The Bible, if we go over into Corinthians and we read about the covering, and it talks about the woman's hair being her covering, but it goes on, and many people take that to the veil of this woman, and they put a veil on their head and do this and that. But it goes right on down into say in this particular chapter that the woman's hair is her covering. And it says that it's a shame for a man to pray or to prophesy with his head being covered. But when I was in Israel, and we went into like where the tomb of David was, and then we took communion down there, and we prayed, and when we prayed and we took communion, we had a covering on our head. So is God going to judge me and cast me out or say, man, you're in rebellion against me and my word for doing this very thing? No, it's because when I was with the Jews, I did as what the Jews did. They would not have allowed me to come into that tomb of David. They would not have allowed us to take communion and do the things that we were doing without our head being covered. So was I in error. Did I sin against God by partaking or doing those very things? Now listen close now, because I'm telling you this. I am not making room for willful sin here. Did they willfully sin against God when this man, when Paul went with this brother, Timothy, and he was circumcised? Was it a sin against God for doing that? It would have been a sin against God if they taught him that it was necessary for him to do those things for salvation. Now, many of our children have been circumcised. Some of us even practice the thing on the eighth day after the child is born to take it and to have this child circumcised. Are we doing those things to line up with Jewish law and saying that this is necessary for our children's salvation, that we line up with this? No. We do this thing because the Jews have got understanding that came from God, and they know that it's the eighth day, that there's a certain thing that takes place within this little child, not so much by revelation, but by naturally medical practices, the best time for the little child to have this procedure done. So there's many things. If it's so, then we find that Peter in the housetop there when he in Cornelius, where he had this vision and this sheet came down from heaven, and he said, God, I wouldn't put any unclean thing within my mouth. And he says, don't call unclean what I've cleaned. And this had to do more so with grafting in, and we talk about being rebuked by the Spirit of God, and also where Paul went to him by faith. It was the same thing there. He's saying, don't call unclean what I've called clean. And see, the thing is, was it just talking about things that they eat? You see, when we go to religious practices and think, well, you can't do this and you can't do that, and they bring it to the law. Now, does that mean that because of this grace and because of this cleansing and thing, does it mean that we should just eat everything? Now, we said the Bible teaches that if we sanctify it, that we can eat it. It says we can even eat any poisonous thing or any deadly thing, and it won't bring harm to us. But then yet, would we be not using wisdom to glean from some of the laws of God in the way that we should eat and stay away from certain things? And even though we see the commandment going forth right here by a letter or decree going forth from the early apostolic church fathers going into the church in his letters, it tells them reading forth of the things that they did bring down. So then if we violate those things, are we violating God? If we eat of blood, or these animals that are strangled, or fornication, we know that. We're taught that in the Bible. It said that no whoremonger will inherit the kingdom of God, no fornicator. And it goes on to say these things. So then it is giving us a dietary even perspective of thought that we see being added right into the early church. Are we under the law, brothers and sisters? No. Where do we find this separation between this law and between this grace? Where do we find this at? So we find again this man going forth and this one being circumcised, and we say, you see, it isn't offensive because he wasn't teaching that. He came with orders. And if we read right after that statement, he said he went on preaching the decrees and the things that they were sent forth with. But what did he have to do to be able to do that? He had to line up with the Jews in part and in measure. You see, when I talk about even this Sabbath day or these people holding you and saying, this man can't be saved because I see him doing that, what should I do? I should abstain from those things. I should abstain from being out here in workplaces on Sunday. I should stay away for I don't bring offense. It may not be offensive to you. You say, my ox is in a ditch, I need to do this. But then yet there could be somebody that's watching your life. There could be somebody that you're really, truly in your heart wanting to win to God. and there's somebody that you're wanting to help, but all of a sudden, because of that one thing, they cut you off and they are not going to receive you. So would you have been better off to just go ahead and comply with this ordinance or with this law, that you would have the opportunity to preach the gospel to them and bring them to the revelation of the Lord? Yes. But most definitely, even though it's permissible for me to eat meat, but then yet if because of some belief of your own and for some reason that you think that you have to abstain from meats, like many of our cults and many of our New Age movements and stuff today are vegetarian in this day and hour, do you think that I would go in with the doctrines of and talk about the house of Cornelius there where again this sheet came down and said, you think I'd go in disputing that with him? No. I would line up with them. Hey, let's go get a salad. You know, hey, come on, let's go eat some vegetables, man. I could abstain from meat long enough to find fellowship, not to offend a man, that I could talk to him about God and bring him into some revelation or into the things of God. Don't you know that the religious world out here is indoctrinated and they're so blind to the scriptures and they're so blind to the things, but if they think that if you even drink wine that you are lost and you're on your way to hell? I had a preacher come in my house and told me most definitely he knew that I was lost because I spoke to him about communion and wine. I wasn't even talking about the liberty that we have as a children of God or as Christians. And I could talk about the many medicinal purposes and the things that is more would be good, that if man could drink wine for many, many reasons, that it's good medicinally speaking. But is it worth it when you kill your testimony? Is it worth it when you offend others? Is it worth it when people won't hear what you have to say because that you might be partaking of wine? It would be foolish to think that a soul would that you could have won a soul to God, but you couldn't even open your mouth for the gospel's sake because of your foolishness. And it's the Bible says that you're not to be given to wine. A man given to wine doesn't take into consideration what I'm saying. It's like I've got this liberty and I'm going to do it, and they're going to drink of the wine, and it doesn't matter who they offend. That's a man given to wine. And that's what we can't do. We need to be aware of our surroundings and the people around, that we don't bring reproach and cause problems for others, that we could have the opportunity to preach the gospel. Do you remember me sharing the story where I was with the brethren and we was down there in a place in Texas and we got lighthearted and laughing and just being lighthearted and just joking around and laughing? No, we wasn't drinking. No, we wasn't smoking. No, we wasn't doping it. No, we wasn't cursing. No, we wasn't cussing. Just got lighthearted and laughing and carrying on. And then all of a sudden, man, I crossed my spirit and I thought, oh boy, and I got graved in my heart. Crossed the line. Stepped beyond the grace of God. Violated the conscience and I walked away. And I went out there and I told you the story not many days back. I crawled underneath a motorhome. And I started taking, I was changing a transmission on this motorhome. It was probably way over 9, 10 o'clock at night. And I crawled up under this motorhome and I started working. And I remember, it tears me up. I remember weeping, thinking, oh God, what have I done? I'm out here with these men that ain't really doing right, ain't really living right. Here I have an opportunity maybe to be a little bit of a testimony. And here I get caught away in foolishness with them. And then I told you the story about the sister that started cramping, needing prayer, and the Lord spoke to me and said, lay hands on her and I'll heal her. He didn't say I might. He said, lay hands on her and I'll heal her. And he did that very thing. But they wouldn't receive because of my foolishness. You see, that was a rebuke to me. That was a reproof to me. You see, what these things all line up within the same thing. Yes, there is a time that maybe you can get away from your, if you're a religious staunchness, we might say, when you're just religious, and you need to sometimes get away from your religious staunchness for in a way of maybe fellowshipping people. You know, just fellowshipping and being a friend to them a little bit. Just come down to their level maybe a little bit and become a friend to them. But don't violate and cross your conscience. Don't cross over and go the other way. You know, just because I come into a Jew and his doctrines is circumcision, I'm not going to just line up with him and say, oh yes, I believe that. You must be circumcised to be saved just to find fellowship. I'm not going to go that way. But then on the other hand, I could say in the perspective for they would not find fault with me to line up with their doctrine. In a way, it's not going to hinder me. It's not going to hurt me to line up with their doctrine. You see, we have a Friday night service. We could say that we keep the Sabbath because the Sabbath starts at dark on Friday evening is when it starts. And if you go to some of these Seventh-day Adventists and some of these keepers of the Sabbath, and they're very religious to this. I've called their homes on Friday evening after dark, and they say, "Well, listen, brother, you know, I can't do business right now with you today." He said, "Call me Sunday. You know, call me on Sunday. I can't talk business with you right now." And they stay with it. And I mean to tell you, they will not talk with you about business. You think, well, could I just ask you if possibly it would be okay if I go over on your job Monday? Call me on Sunday and I'll talk about it. Won't even talk about it. Well, don't you think you could maybe just slip a little word out and say, "Yeah, man, the job's ready to go. You know, just tell me that the job's ready to go and I'll go over there and put it in my schedule. Call me on Sunday." I'm telling you the truth. I've dealt with them like that. You know, and it's like, well, calling me on Sunday took as much effort for you to say that as it would say, "Yeah, the job's done. Go ahead and go." You know, but they wouldn't do it. I told you, even over there in Israel, the Sabbath day keepers have the elevators. They call a Sabbath elevator. And the door opens up on the first floor and goes the second. It opens up on the second floor and goes the third. You don't even have to push a button. You walk in, you go up, and you walk out. But the elevator that wasn't a Sabbath elevator, you had to push the button. They say, "Ride that one if you want, but you're going to stop at every floor. But if you want to just go on straight to the 12th floor, you better get on this one." You see what I'm saying? That's pretty staunch in their convictions. So here's the thing. Let's bring this to present-day application again. So we're not so much in doctrines of circumcision that we're dealing with. Now, we're going to talk about the Jew now, and they were disputes in many places through the Scriptures. As you read in the Scriptures, you find that there was disputes over circumcision and uncircumcision, disputes over resurrections, and many different things. And many of the disputes went back to the law. But here we are today, and we're going to talk about Jews. And we're going to talk about what we would say natural Jew, and we're going to talk about spiritual Jew. And I find that many of these religious people in their churches in this day and hour, and I could bring in many of the denominations, I could probably bring them all into this, that they got their certain little laws that they have brought in over the years that aren't really lined up with the Word of God here. Many of their things are. Many of their teachings are biblical. But there's many things that they bring in that has crept in over the years. Many of it come through Catholicism, and they have these things. And many of these things, I, as a Christian that I'm not in agreement with, I could line up with those things, for I have the opportunity to preach the Word to them. See, many times I say, when we edit these tapes, let's edit some of the strength to the perspective back a little bit, because it's going to offend them in such a way they're not going to listen to the message. Some of these radio broadcasts, let's maybe veil things back a little bit. It's the truth. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed of preaching the Word. But it's going to be a little bit strong possibly for them, and they won't hear the end of the matter. So sometimes we've got to use a little bit of wisdom how we come forth. So what are we saying here? If I'm dealing with a Baptist, and this Baptist individual has different beliefs than what I believe, can I line up with him long enough to bring the Word of God to him? How do you do that? How do you do that? First, find fellowship in what you're in common ground with. First, find a fellowship with them in what you know that you both agree with. You both agree that Jesus was crucified for you. That's a good place to start. You're both in agreement that he was crucified and was resurrected. That's another good place that you can go. He may not believe that God heals today, and you do believe that God heals today, so should we automatically jump right into that as a dispute? If God leads you to do so, yes. But if God doesn't do it, and you're doing it out of a zeal or out of a "bless God, I'm going to show you." Many times when you go with the Spirit, like, "Bless God, I've come to a revelation. Bless God, I understand something you don't. Bless God, I'm smarter than you. Bless God, I know this, something that you don't know, and I'm going to tell you." Man, you ain't going to be heard, because you're not in the right spirit about it whatsoever. That's not a spirit of humility. That's not being humble. That's not being concerned or wanting to win souls. Many times we should never, ever open our mouth about some of those things. Now, you do owe it sometimes to people when they ask you a question to answer it. But when a question is asked, do you have to answer it just straight out, wham, bam, so to speak? Do you have to just answer this question and say, "Yay, this is exactly the way it is"? But many times you can veil it. I've listened to Brother Pike take 45 minutes to answer a question, and he will put the right answer out there, but he takes you all the way around the world, and he puts it in such a veil that if it's going to be something contrary to what you are anyway, that it's going to take the Holy Ghost to reveal it to you regardless, but the whole answer and everything will be laid out there in such a beautiful way. You say, why did he do that? Because that's what Jesus done. He spoke in parables. When he spoke to his disciples and spoke to the apostles, he spoke in parabolic speaking. They say, why? Why did you say this? Why didn't you say it unto them? He said, it's for some to hear and for others, and it's not for all. So there's a reason for those things. But brothers and sisters, there's many things that in this day and hour that people will hold us to. Many people are caught into little religious laws, and they brought a law in of worship over the years that is so contrary to what the Bible teaches. And they'll try to bring you under the same laws and under the same subjections of these laws. Denominationalism, brothers and sisters, is nothing but what I would say is a regeneration, or possibly what I would say is just bringing forth another law in another way. I believe in government and I believe in church order, but not in the way that they do. They bring it to a law, and they bring it to the letter of the law, and the letter of the law killeth. They bring in people in there and indoctrinating them in strange fire and strange doctrines and in strange ways. And when you come with the Word of God, you will find that they're wanting to dispute with you and they want to argue with you. It don't matter where you go and what denomination. When you take the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and you start speaking it forth and try to find the freedom in the Spirit to speak it forth, you're going to find people that will absolutely lock up with you and they'll resent you. They will come against you because you're different than what this church world is preaching and what they're teaching. So what do we do? Do we want to find fellowship with this outside church world so bad that we're going to do away with the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we want fellowship with them that we're going to back off on our standards? Are we going to say, look, I'm going to be here in Egypt with the rest of the Americans, so I'm going to do as the Egyptians do. I'm going to strip off at the beaches with them for I could reach them. I can't reach them that way. You see, that's foolishness. That's ignorance. Nobody's going to find fault as a rule. The only ones that will find fault with you, the way that you dress, are religious people. You understand that? I've never had a dispute with anybody outside of religious people over dress. I think I could walk out into a place and I could be dressed like I am this morning, or I could have jeans on. Possibly I may say I have a long sleeve shirt on, and I've never yet out in the worldly people haven't found fault with me. Might have my shirt cuffed up. You know, they ain't going to find fault. It's the religious people. It's just like we find here in the Scriptures. It's the religious people. So is these Scriptures that I'm trying to bring forth today, is it bringing us in an ordinance? And we read there where he says about sin, and he said, God forbid. Is this giving us allowance to become a sinner and a sin that we could reach a sinner? Is this what's happening here? I would say not. I would say that nowhere in what we just now read would give us the allowances to go into sin that we could fellowship with one, that we could reach them. We're talking about ordinances that come through religious practices that we could appear to line up with those very things that we might have the possibility to reach somebody in that sect of people or in the way that they believe. I said I went in Israel there, put a head covering on, totally against my convictions and against the Word of God. And I done this to line up with their traditions and their things as a temporal thing. I did not leave there and continue to keep a head covering on or whatever. So did I sin against God when I done what I did? No, I didn't. I was using wisdom in obedience to the Scriptures that I would be beyond reproach with these other people. Again, it goes back to, just like I say, of eating meat. Now, let's talk about the eating meat part. So now there's a decree, and the thing goes forth that talks about meat, and it talks about these animals being strangled, and one's offered to sacrifice that we're to stay away from. So what was the commandment that was told to them as they go out house to house? What did it say? Do you go in and offend these people and ask them, is this meat been given to idols? Is this meat has been sacrificed into idols? Was this meat strangled? Was this meat done this? Is that what you do when you go in the house? That's not what the Bible teaches. It says you go in and you sit down and you eat what is set before you. And don't question it. But if they come to you and tell you that this meat was sacrificed unto idols, then it's your obligation at that particular time to preach the doctrine in the Word of God, is what the Bible says. Now if they come to me and they're saying, well, look, we're doing this because this, and then they challenge me openly to go against what they know that I believe, and they're telling me, say, well, this is the way it is. And they coming to me with whatever it may be, then I owe it to them at that point. That's what happened with me the other day with this man. He kept on, and I just lined up with him. I said, oh, man, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And then he came up to me and openly opposed me with the perspective of saying that I was a sinner. And I said, I'm going to disagree with you. Now, are you starting to understand and comprehend a little bit? We're not making allowances for compromise. We're not making allowances for sin. We're not making allowances for worldly life. We're not making allowances for those things. But many times, brothers and sisters, we need to get off of a religious hobby horse or a religious high horse, we might say. And we need to just become common as unto men as the Lord Jesus did when he came to us as men. And we need to find a little bit of fellowship with people by not becoming so much as them, but coming down to their level a little bit, that we can speak to them. The religious people come down to their level a little bit. You're not compelled to bring them into the mysteries of God when you meet and shake their hand at the door. You're not compelled to then bring them into the mysteries of God when you have one conversation with them. Now, I know, brothers and sisters, that if you're spirit-led, that sometimes you might find people and talk to people and you find a little bit of a hunger. See, I dealt with two men yesterday, and neither one of them are in church. But they've studied, and they've read the Bible. They've been all around the world. And they've studied all kinds of theologies. They've studied the Gospels in the perspective of this word. They've studied other religions. And they started asking me about these Western Orthodox. They started asking me about this malicious group down in Mexico, if I knew anything about them. And they've studied all these things. So with all of their intellectual studies, they started firing questions at me. Well, what do you think about this? What do you think about sodomites? What do you think about many things? They got political, they got religious, they done everything. It's an intellectual mind. But what I did is I came with an answer to the things that they ask. And I brought it right back to the mind of Christ and every single thing. And then pretty soon I saw their strength and their zeal, like I started out saying here. I seen it melt down. And all of a sudden they felt like they had come up to something that had answers for the things that they stumped other people with that had no answers. And all of a sudden, I started rending dimensional barriers and veils and started bringing them to the thing. And when I come down to the thing, the man's standing there, and I go, well, when do you think that you're going to be partakers of these things? He said, when I die. And I really mocked him in a way. I just kind of smiled. And I didn't mock him in lightly esteeming. I guess that's really a too strong of a word. But I mean, it's just like I said, the Spirit of the Lord in this other individual over there, as he got so angry and so riled up, it was just, I wasn't moved in my heart at all. I mean, I wasn't, it just was such a way, it was almost like the Spirit of God just, you know, where the Bible says that he laughed at their calamity. That's what the Bible says. You think, surely God wouldn't laugh at somebody's calamity. When they're in rebellion against God and rebellion against God and rebellion against God and their calamity comes, he's going to laugh at their calamity because they've been warned and they've been warned. You remember the little vision about the man that was standing on his front porch and the floods were pouring down, not trying to be funny here, but this is such a revelation to the truth of this day and hour. And it poured down rain and poured down rain and man, the roads are flooding out. And these guys came by and these four-wheelers treading up through the water. And they said, buddy, he said, man, this is getting bad. You know, it's looking rough, man. There's going to be a bad flood here. You better let us take you out. And he says, oh, God will help me. He says, man, I got faith in God and God's going to help me. Everything will be fine. So the guy said, man, we're out of here. They're gone. And man, pretty soon the water comes up higher and higher. So now this guy comes by in a boat, very excited. He says, brother, or says, sir, you better come on, man. This is getting bad. Water's up, flooding his house out. And the guy says, oh, no, I've got faith in God. I've got faith in God. Everything's going to be okay. So then the water rises, and he climbs up on his roof, and the water's way up, and the peak of his roof sticking out of the house. And a guy comes by in a helicopter with a loudspeaker screaming at him, saying, you better grab onto this ladder. He said, you know, you better grab on this ladder and get chatter. And the man screamed back. He said he wasn't going to go. He had faith in God. Well, the house washed away and the man drowned. Finds himself standing before the Lord and he questioned God. He said, God, why? Why didn't you save me? I had faith in you. And he said, well, I sent a guy by in a four-wheeler. I sent a guy by in a boat. And I sent a guy by in a helicopter. Why you question me? Most generally, when you hear that story, it's told as a joke. But isn't that the truth? The Bible says, beware when you entertain strangers, lest you entertain an angel unaware. See, here's somebody that's moved by the Spirit of God to go to an individual and to help them. And this is so ignorant. This is the way religious world is today. You know, they looking for this invisible manifestation of some kind of a spiritual thing. And sometimes it's so simple with God. A man praying, you know, saying, man, God, I need food. You know, God, I need help. You know, Lord, my cabinets are empty, man, and my bills ain't. I'm just in trouble. God, I need help. And then he turns away work. You know, and God says, well, wait a minute. I prepared a man's heart to help you. Or I did this and that. But you know, you didn't have time. You had other things to do. And then, you know, isn't that God making a way? People sometimes take the supernatural and they miss the simple little things. The Bible talks about despising not the little things. And sometimes people despise the little things and they really miss the big things of God. You know, sometimes people want to get to the top of the ladder without going up the rungs of the ladder. It don't work that way. God's very simple in many, many things, brothers and sisters. The things of God are ever so simple. But as I said, starting out here, as I read that scripture there, and I thought, well, when Brother Paul went with Timothy for this circumcision, I thought, that's really something. I tell you, I mean, I really pondered on it. You know, brothers and sisters, and I thought, well, why did he do this? It doesn't go on to say much in explanation there. But you go on and find the mind of it. You see, you got to take the scriptures line upon line and precept upon precept. So we went over to three other books in the Bible and see where that wasn't Paul's mind whatsoever. He said he didn't compel Titus there to be circumcised. He went on to say that, you know, in many places he said it wasn't of their teachings and different things. We read it in two or three different things to confirm the way his mind was. And he wasn't in rebellion of what he just went to Jerusalem to find out. But then yet it was a man that was blessed with the wisdom of how to win souls. What would happen if they wouldn't have done this thing? Would they have ever had the opportunity to go on and preach the Word of God and doctrines to them? You know, brothers and sisters, there's many times that we have to do things in this life that would appear to be somewhat of a conformity to the religious people of this world. That we could just find fellowship with them. People are looking for you to say certain things because their ears are closed and shut up. And you're going to know that you're in exactly the same way. The Bible says, despise not prophecy. And I came to a place after being out in the charismatic church world that, man, when somebody would say, thus saith the Lord, I'm locked up like this. And I mean, I had a shield up and I'm saying, oh my, I am so sick of these prophecies that are coming forth from the intellectual mind and from people. And the Bible said, despise not prophecy. And the thing was, I came to that place in my walk with God. I came to a place that, man, when somebody would say, thus saith the Lord, I had such a guard up. And I remember the Lord reproving me when I came out of the radio station up there in Lexington. And Brother David and myself and was there on the radio doing a live broadcast. We came out and a man standing at the back door as we walk out the door. And he says, I got a word from God for you. You know, and I locked up, boy. And he started giving a word. And I saw that it was accurate in part. You see, many times a man can prophesy the Spirit of God. God can speak to you and say, thus saith the Lord, and this is exactly what it is. And you say, well, you know what, I'm going to share this with the church. And you say, thus saith the Lord, church. And you share what he said, but that's not good enough sometimes for the intellectual mind. And then they're going to go on and add their part, and they're going to help a little bit. I've seen ministers do it when they're called to preach, not question their calling at all. They get up and preach a message that's ordained of God, and it's the leading of God, and you could tell that God dealt with them in the Spirit, and they minister this message. But then all of a sudden, you could find when the Spirit of the Lord departs and the anointing leaves, and then they're standing there in the flesh, and they want to go into some intellectual...